Is the categorical waiver for waste discharge for non-federal land. And while we're getting ready, I'll read it into the record that this is the time and place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, on the order number R1-2012-0010 to consider the matter of an extension to the limited term amendment order number R1-2011-0038 to NTMP provisions of order number R1-2009-0038. Categorical waiver of waste discharge requirements for discharges related to timber harvest activities on non-federal lands in the North Coast region. This item has been properly noticed. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please rise and raise your right hand? Take the following oath. Do you swear and affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Fantastic. At this time, we'll have a staff presentation. I'll remind you, if you want to address the board, please fill out a speaker card if you need to do so at this time. Mr. Burke.
Thank you. Good afternoon, members of the board. I'm Jim Burke, engineering geologist with the Southern Timber Unit of the Non-Point Source Timber Harvest Division of the Regional Board. So for your consideration is order number R1-2012-0010. We're requesting an extension to the temporary suspension of the conditions from the categorical waiver for timber on non-federal lands specific to NTMPs. The reason for that extension, I'll go into in a second, but it's to complete the work that we committed to doing back last March in the original suspension. So I'm just going to give a brief background summary, talk about the original waiver amendment, a little bit about NTMPs. I'll talk about the work that we've done so far and that we committed to doing, and the work that we are going to wrap up on before this new extension would expire. So just a brief overview of timber harvest plans. They are mandated under the forest practice rules. They're a timber harvesting plan for smaller landowners, non-industrial landowners, landowners with up to 2,500 acres of timberlands are eligible for these plans. No clear cutting is allowed on NTMPs. They were required to manage their forests under sustained yield plans. So essentially, it's a balance between growth and harvesting. There is approximately 500 NTMPs in the North Coast region. We have by far the highest number of NTMPs in the state. This is where the timber grows. The way that an NTMP works is that once it's approved, it goes through the regular timber harvest plan review process that Regional Board is a review team member. When they're approved, then they don't expire, so they're and have an indefinite lifespan, and a landowner can harvest each year by just submitting a notice of timber operations. The first NTMPs were approved in 1991, and this is the as landowners see it, the benefit and as regulators see the challenge is that the rules that were in effect at the time the NTMP was first approved remain in effect for that NTMP unless they amend it. So there is those 500 some NTMPs in the North Coast region are all operating under different rule sets. Timber harvesting in the North Coast region was, there were waste discharge requirements were waived until 2003, then when waivers throughout the state were rescinded by the by an act of the Senate. In 2003, the regional board developed a interim waiver to waive waste discharge requirements for timber harvest plans and NTMPs. In 2004, a new waiver was passed by the regional board. This required for NTMPs, it was a categorical waiver. It required erosion control plans for new NTMPs. The older NTMPs, the pre-existing NTMPs were, oh yes, that. I was told we didn't need a PowerPoint for this. In the 2004 waiver, the older NTMPs were grandfathered in, so they did not have to develop erosion control plans. The waiver was revised in 2009, and in that revision, there was the changes specific to NTMPs was that we now we expanded the requirement for erosion control plans to so that the older NTMPs that had previously been grandfathered into the waiver would now have to develop erosion control plans in a they were given 5 years or more to do so, and where previously even the newer NTMPs had to have erosion control plans for each operating area as they submit a notice of timber operations, we expanded it for them to include their entire NTMP area. The that waiver, the 2009 waiver, was passed or was adopted by the regional board in June, and that same year, the Board of Forestry was considering new forest practice rules for watersheds with anadromous salmonids, which became the anadromous salmonid protection rules. Those went into effect at the beginning of 2010, so there was a bit of overlap in that time period of the two, between the waiver and the new forest practice rules. After the waiver was revised in 2009, there was three groups that submitted petitions to the state board, mainly over NTMPs, the expanded erosion control plan requirement, and the requirement for road plans. I didn't mention that in 2009, the expanded conditions of the waiver included additional canopy retention on watercourses for compliance with the basin plan temperature objective. So, as a result, or in our response to those three petitions, we agreed to temporarily suspend the conditions of the waiver specific to NTMPs. And it reverted back to the conditions of the 2004 waiver. So the new requirement for erosion control plans was suspended for the older NTMPs, and then the NTMPs that had been waived in 2004 just had to continue and submit those plans for each notice of timber operations. So part of the temporary suspension that was approved in the board meeting last March, we had agreed to take another look at the water quality protections provided by the forest practice rules and have a robust public participation process. The analysis, when I say we're going to take a look at the water quality protection of the forest practice rules, it was there's three components: a field component, on the ground monitoring, a close look at the forest practice rules, and a file review to just clarify how many plans meet the new rules, how are plans amended as conditions change and the rules change. So the amendment to the waiver, the temporary suspension, was last March. At part of that suspension was that it would sunset February 1st, pending an action by the regional board, and if it expired, it would just go back to the conditions of the 2009 waiver. So I'm going to talk about what we've done so far, and we're pretty far along in this process, so that's why we're requesting this extension, and the amendment would expire August 23rd, and that will be pending any board action, or it would just revert again back to the 2009 waiver. So I'm going to talk about the monitoring component. We developed a monitoring plan in conjunction with CAL FIRE. They've been monitoring timber harvest plans for many years now, and so we worked together with them to develop a protocol. We had a quality assurance plan that would standardize our procedures. It ties in well with CAL FIRE's procedures. It is designed to look at mostly sediment delivery, roads, and watercourse crossings. We held trainings with CAL FIRE, and we've been conducting the inspections along with CAL FIRE. We've mostly looked at NTMPs that have been active in the last several years, in which CAL FIRE has the authority to go on site and do those inspections. Part of our monitoring program, we're not looking at canopy conditions. We're just looking at road and watercourse crossings and sediment discharge. CAL FIRE has been, we don't have the resources or expertise, and CAL FIRE is doing their canopy surveys as part of their monitoring. We're also trying to get stakeholders, interested parties, as well as CAL FIRE involved, and so we have an outreach program. We've sent letters to all NTMP landowners to inform them where things stand and invite their participation in this process. We've been contacting interested parties through our LIRIS list and keeping the public informed under our website. So we're pretty far along the way. We need to wrap up our evaluations of both the forest practice rules, the file review. We're done with, for the most part, with our monitoring, and we need to compile that information and come up with conclusions and observations. And in the coming months, we are planning on getting working with the public participation. We're planning on having workshops, informal meetings, and once we get the input, we're going to be finalizing our reports and making recommendations, and we anticipate bringing our recommendations to you guys, to the board, next August. We had a public comment period for this agenda item today for this order. We received 4 written comments during the public comment period, which we responded to in writing, and those comments and responses are in the package that you have. We did not make any changes as a result of any of the comments. A couple of the agency representative or individuals who made comments are here, and so you may likely hear from them. And that's it.
Jim, thank you very much. Board member questions, comments?
Thank you. How many acres do you think is involved with the non-industrial timber management plan?
You know, that was a figure that I knew I should come here prepared for.
But I see someone in the audience, and I'll ask them if they get up and testify. And then my second one is, have we detected any on-the-ground problems?
There's wherever there's forest ranch roads, there's always some problems. That's just the nature of dirt roads in steep forested lands. We're not quite prepared to discuss the findings, but the short answer is yes. There we do see erosion and sediment problems out there.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments? One thing that you weren't really explicit on, I know that you're reviewing forest practice rules. I assume that's a review of forest practice rules, including ASP, as they juxtaposition or jive with the waiver itself. I assume you, when you come with your final analysis here, that there would be some type of crosswalk or matrix comparison that would show this is forest practice rules with ASP on top, and this is the waiver, and so here, therefore, is the whole. So is that a correct assumption?
Yes. We would discuss the ASP rules, the protection that they provide, and then which plans actually meet those rules. It's going to be a somewhat convoluted crosswalk because
that's okay. Let me ask you, how many properties have you and staff gone out and looked at?
20.
And as far as geographic or geologic or timber bearing property variability, how much? I only went on one. Actually, we went on the Blue Lakes kind of tour up there, and then I actually went on a property in Mendocino. So I have a limited experience with what you guys are doing. I thought it was quite interesting in Mendocino. You actually did go through, Matt Belfaven went through, and you as well, and Mark Alpert were doing some assessment of culvert crossings, which I thought was quite interesting about how you rank, score, evaluate, and I thought that was quite interesting to actually see that in practice. It was also quite interesting to see a property. It's been interesting for me to see properties that are under active forest harvest as a process, as a continual process, to see what those outcomes look like. But have you, as the properties you've looked at, have you included enough variability in the makeup of properties out there to feel like you've got a comprehensive look at things? Because you essentially have had one season to go through here, and my understanding is Redwood's not doing much, but really the Doug Fir is the one that's out there that had stuff going on this past season.
I think that, first of all, the selection of the plans that we do the inspections on, it's random.
Sure.
And so there's, I think there's as big as our sample size is, I think that it's a good representative sample. For the most part, it was plans with recent activity on them. Because those are the ones that we have the authority, or Cal Fire has the authority to call them up and say we're coming out to inspect.
Is that because
them.
There's a notice of timber operations, and therefore
yes.
You're in a process, you start the process, and you're subject then to potential inspection, correct?
That's exactly right.
Okay good. I only have one speaker card up here. There was a lot of people actually that got up. Actually, there's some more coming, so I stand corrected. We might come back to you here in a minute.
Thank you.
We will. Okay. Clay Brando, CAL FIRE.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and board members. My name is Clay Brando. I'm with CAL FIRE, and I'm here today representing Bill Snyder, who could not be here and apologizes. I've been involved with this study since the very beginning, and I did pick the sample that we're using, and that was an edifying experience in itself. And I worked with your staff on the field work and also the protocol development and the training. And we are using our forest practice monitoring scheme called 4PRIME, which is Forest Practice Rule Implementation and Effectiveness Monitoring. And we will generate some data on that on roads and on crossings and on canopies. So we'll have some pretty good data. We've got 18 in that data set right now, and the 20% sample was 26, and I hope to get that done by whatever the deadline you set. let's see. I will be involved in the data analysis and coming up. So as CAL FIRE, I'm here to support the proposed amendment, although as per our comment letter, we would recommend extending the deadline to your November meeting. Our reasoning for this is to capture a full season of full field season of data, and the other is to avoid any conflicts if with fire season and our field season. So we would prefer to report to you in November, but I know you have your schedule. They're going to Member Corbett's question. There's about 300,000 acres of NTMPs in California, but it's actually about 302. Of that, about 218,000 are in the North Coast, those 500 or so that Jim mentioned. So of that 300,000 acres, that represents about 2% of the total timberland in California and about 4% of the private timberland in California. There's a lot more non-industrial timberland in California, which one of the comment letters indicated to you, but the reason, and that's not a contradiction, the reason that that's the case is because there's a lot of non-industrial timberland that's not enrolled in this program. It doesn't have non-industrial timber management plans, and so that's why that is.
So, excuse me, Clay. So are those then been harvested then under standard THPs then instead of an NTMP process?
Yes, or not harvested at all.
Okay.
And one of the other points is a lot of the NTMPs have never had a NTO. They were filed and they're just being held in reserve. A lot of these family owners, they basically want to ensure that when they need to harvest timber for put a kid through college or for a medical emergency, that they'll be able to do it. So they did this advanced work, but they're basically on hold until they need to use them. excuse me. I've really enjoyed working with your staff. It's been really a pleasure. And if you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any comments?
Yeah, Mr. Norton. With respect to the with your recommendation for extending until November, in the presentation, Mr. Burke said that essentially it looks like fieldwork's completed. They've got a little bit of cleanup to do, and then it seems it's just generating recommendations and then having our meetings. So it seems that Jim, where'd you go? There you are. Didn't see you sneak over there. As you outlined it here, is that right? So there wouldn't be a need or there wouldn't be an impact. Yeah, probably. I see Patty nodding her head. So, yes, please.
Well, we didn't hit our target number. We hit our part of the goal of the QAP, the Quality Assurance Plan, was to go visit at least 5%, and that would be 26 NTMPs, and we're not quite there. And we sure would have hoped to get them, but it's scheduling is often difficult. We just haven't made it, and now the rain's coming, so we'll see.
Sure.
Can I comment on that?
Yeah, please.
But 26 is actually a 20% sample of NTOs that have been filed since July 2007, and the ones that we have access to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we were hoping to get. And we would like to get that whole 26, although there's two that we're not going to be able to get because there's a safety problem for our inspectors in accessing those. But there's eight that we'd like to get, and six more that we'd like to get. Four of them are in the Humboldt unit, and we're a little light on Humboldt data, and I heard somebody mention the Redwood issue, so we'd like to get those. And then there's two that are in Mendocino that had not overwintered by this fall, so we'll pick those up in the spring. So we still have a little field work to do.
Right.
Can I come up and...
Please, Mr. St. John.
Have a seat.
As long as we speak into the mic, we're fine.
Matt St. John. The quality assurance project plan that we put together, we set a goal of how many, a percentage of the total NTMPs that have notice of timber ops that we would like to assess as part of this study. That number would be 26 NTMPs. We've completed 20. Now the rains are upon us, and it makes it more difficult to complete the field work. What I want to emphasize is the positives, that we've been working really closely with CAL FIRE staff, and we developed this program together. It's a joint effort, which was very high priority for our two agencies to come together and do this together. The scheduling has been incredibly challenging. You have basically three factors. You have four factors. You have the landowners, you have the RPFs, and then you have the CAL FIRE inspectors and regional board staff. And frankly, bringing all four parties together is why we only have 20 out of the 26. CAL FIRE's perspective of getting another field season, if we didn't have the demands that we have, the pressures to get this project done, I'd agree. Let's go for another season. The thing is, though, I don't think we can afford to wait that long. I think we have other pressures. We need to get this thing done. So there's nothing magic about the 26. And there's nothing saying that we can't still get six more in. Mm-hmm. We may be able to do that. What I don't want to leave you with today is if we don't get six more, that somehow our study is flawed. It's not.
I guess that's exactly what you just said.
It's still a robust study. It's a good sample size. And that's the quantitative part. Now, there's this qualitative part, which is based on just staff's best professional judgment. And that's very important, too. And then there's the other component, which is our kind of the paper part of the study, our file reviews, this what we've termed this gap analysis. So the field component is one important component, but it's not the only component that we're hanging our hat up on. So let's not let this issue slow us down. We can make the August deadline. We're committed to doing that.
Sounds great to me.
Mr. Messi?
Mr. Chair? Perhaps I missed something, but Matt or Jim, we've got 20 out of 26. Are we finding any really large anomalies that we had not anticipated?
No.
So 20 or 26, we might be able to live with a lack of a number just in order to be able, we're not... We haven't got 50% of them that are off the scale that really would require us to go to the 26.
I think that with the 20 that we've got, it'd be nice to meet our goal. But I think that we have the information to tell the story that reflects what's going on out there.
Thank you. Yes.
And we'll do our best. We'll do our best to meet that extension time to get those 26. And to your point, that Member Massey, the variance is pretty tight. Even on the WLPIS canopy, the watercourse and lake protection zone canopy, that the minimum that we found on those 18 was 80. So 80%. So the variance is pretty tight. So I think we won't find outliers in those other six, but I can't guarantee that.
Mr. Carby.
Yeah, I had two questions. The first is, when we go back a little bit in time, there were some rough edges as to between the agencies on the policy and also the levels of communication. Do you, in your testimony, it's pretty favorable on that. I just wanted to check with both of you. Do both of you believe it's on track as far as communication, that the parties are getting closer together?
Yeah, I would say that it's been very good. We've had a couple of glitches, and as Matt pointed out, the scheduling is really difficult because you've got so many parties involved. But I think we've done much better than I expected in terms of getting the sample in.
And I forgot to mention it, but, in the monitoring, I had that picture up there, and it's kind of a feel-good picture of water quality staff and CAL FIRE staff working together. But that's the truth. I mean, the benefits of doing this monitoring is that it's our protocols are similar to CAL FIRE's, and we're out there and together looking at the same things, talking about evaluating same parameters, and it's a really good way for our two agencies to calibrate our eyes, our concerns, and so it's been constructive on many levels.
And then the other is just a comment, and perhaps I'll be proved wrong. Of course, we'll look very carefully at the study, but what I at least heard through the room reel is there aren't large problems. And if that's the case, then one way to approach it is either some type of risk assessment process or a means to terminate the permits if a problem develops. And so, I don't know, you might want to weigh those out, depending what you find on the ground. But, we've got to fill the checkbox because the State Board wants it done. 300,000 acres is not going to, that's a little too large to go away. At the same time, we don't want a regulatory overkill in a program that appears to be working pretty well. And we'll really look forward to the data. But if that's the case, then how do we find a targeted way to approach problems that might happen?
As part of the prep work for this, I looked through our notices of violation on NTMPs and also your cease and desist orders. For any orders that might relate to NTMPs, there's never been one, as far as I could tell from the record, a cease and desist order on an NTMP. We have had a few notices of violation, and those have been corrected. But generally, this is very light touch forestry, and the problems often stem from the fact that these are ranch roads that get lots of use for lots of different other things, and the maintenance is sometimes not the best.
And that's the status of my records as well, found what you did.
Any other comments or questions for Mr. Brando? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Appreciate your efforts from your agency and the cooperation. I have a speaker card for Alan Levine.
Good afternoon, Alan Levine for Coast Action Group. Can I use your slideshow, Jim?
Yeah.
How do you go back from to the beginning?
Don't let him change it.
Next step?
Yeah. Where do you want to get there?
The beginning.
The beginning.
Yeah. Okay. So starting with starting at the beginning with the original suspension of NTMPs from the waiver, or actually what happened, and CAG, or Coast Action Group, was vehemently opposed to the suspension. We believed that there really was no justification that you could have done your study with them still enrolled. There would be no harm to any landowner, and don't understand the basis of it. And then the CEQA determination for the extension was no possible effect on the environment. And just logically, removing protections from specific land use plans for a year and then another 7 months or 8 months, if things go forward without those protections, there's going to be problems. So I don't see how you could justify under CEQA no possible effect on the environment. My attorney thinks it's illegal, and the first act of suspension would be illegal, and would be illegal, and extending the suspension would be just compounding a problem that's not consistent with California Public Resources Code. So I'd like you all to know that I've been reviewing timber harvest plans since 1992. I've read the administrative record of over 600 timber harvest plans and NTMPs. I've experienced on the ground contact with NTMPs and THBs probably in 30, 40, 50 plans. I am an advisor to the management of 40,000 acres of timberland in the region, soon to be probably 57,000 acres. And I like NTMPs. I've sold a bunch of them and sent friends of mine that own forest lands that were nice-looking properties with good stands to go to foresters that wrote good plans and get an NTMP. And what actually occurred with the suspension when you enrolled them in 2009 and actually made them do everything that would have to be done on a timber harvest plan, because there's essentially no difference between NTMP and a timber harvest plan except for two things. One is that you can't clear cut on NTMP, but you can do everything else, and you can get a near clear cut, or you could do group selection, which are small clear cuts, 3-acre, 4-acre clear cuts. And those present a problem of forestry and potentially a soil management problem in and of themselves. The other thing is with NTMPs is that there's lots of roads in many instances on these properties. And the NTMP owners bought their NTMPs thinking, oh, okay, I get a plan. It's good forever. I don't have to do any more timber harvest plan. Save a lot of money in environmental review. And then when they hear later on down the road that they're subject to basin plan requirements, they need to do an erosion control plan. Timber harvest plan is the erosion control plan for that operation, but the erosion control plan that you want for an NTMP is equivalent to that for the life of the plan. And they don't like that. They don't like your incursion into their road management. There's a big problem with road management there, and Jim attested to that fact, and that's one of the major problems. They also don't like your imposition of the shade retention issues, but as I said before, in previous testimony on another subject, temperature, the shade retention requirements for NTMPs and THBs should be exactly the same thing. Essentially, they're the same types of projects, and they offer the same types of problems. And eliminating protection on, there's 218,000 acres in our region, 300,000 acres in the state. You're reviewing 4% of the NTMPs in our region. And I have a problem with the QA, QC there. I was listening to the discussion, and maybe I heard it wrong. I think some of the NTMPs that you're looking at, the majority of them are newer ones that are being operated on, and since they were put into effect in 1992 by legislation, I think that some of the sampling should deal with older NTMPs that have been around and have been operated on before. It's correct that some people just get NTMPs and they don't really intend to harvest unless they have to, and but they do still have their roads. And some of them have called me up and given me a lot of grief about my position on this. And I'm saying, what are you worried about? Do you have a good plan? Oh, yeah, we have a really good plan. And I said, well, if you have a good plan, you'll automatically qualify for the waiver because you don't have any problems. You're managing your roads. All your culverts are good. Yeah, everything's perfect. And I said, there's nothing to worry about. So I think I'm going to skip Jim's presentation. I see this as backsliding of because of the potential of litigation that the regional board took the tact and the action that, well, if we suspend this, we can avoid it for a while. But if you find out there's problems and you go back to enrollment, you still may be litigated by the other side. I don't know if the extensions are buying you what you want. I don't know that the sampling of 4% is going to give you definitive answers. I do know that the potential effects of operations on NTMPs, including the road management and the need for erosion control planning and shade requirements, are all that should happen with THPs, except CAL FIRE has no capability of helping you with the road management outside the area, the harvest area of the NTMP. The ranch roads are out of their jurisdiction. They have no jurisdiction there at all. So I went over before historic studies that show that the forest practice rules, including the rules for NTMPs, do not protect beneficial uses. And I just wanted you to know that NTMPs were included in that study. And on every page I have here, I wrote ASP, 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 ASP. Well, please understand that the ASP rules are not forever rules. You have your responsibility to water quality and in your rulemaking process. The Board of Forestry has a different set of responsibilities, not quite the same as yours. They don't look at – they're doing better, but they don't look at the water quality issues the same way that the regional board does. So the ASP rules may become variable or they might go away. You have no control over that except that you can make comments to the Board of Forestry. I want to quote something from Kat that she wrote in her executive officer's report, and it was I quoted it in my comments. When it adopted the 2009 categorical waiver, the regional board found that the waiver's provisions for sediment reduction, including the NTMP requirements at issue here, implemented TMDLs. The categorical waiver furthers the objectives defined in the TMDL implementation policy and work plan. Conditions and eligibility criteria required for enrollment in the categorical waiver are intended to contribute to the reductions in anthropogenic sediment discharges from sources identified by the EPA and constitute implementation of TMDLs. And going back to Judge Alsup's decision in Pronsolino versus Marcus, all parties have to be part of the solution in attaining water quality objectives. And That's all I have to say. You just can't leave out one sector and hope to really gain any benefit. Thanks.
Thank you, Alan. Any comments or questions from board members? Thank you. I have one last speaker card for Lisa Wieger.
Good afternoon to everyone. I'm speaking in favor of the extension to, until August of the 09 waiver. Many of you have heard me speak before, probably on more than one occasion. I love to get on my soapbox, so I'm sorry if you've heard it before, but I'll just try to take a few minutes of your time. I wanted to say that in California, I think compared to any place in the United States or around the world, we have the most rigorous timber harvesting standards, and I think that it's something that we should be proud of. And as a result of that, we have come so far from what was going on in the woods 50 years ago that the streams and the wildlife and the forests are being protected to a much higher degree. And honestly, I think that we should all be proud, I'm sure we are, of all the accomplishments. I think that oftentimes, because of past misdeeds, timber is often looked at as askance, timber harvesting. We're looked at as the people who are out there doing the environmental damage. I would suggest to most of you today that by and large, whether it's industry or NTMPs, timber is doing a really good job. They have worked hard with water quality. They've worked hard with fishing game. They worked hard with Cal Fire. And the regulations have changed. And in fact, this is my personal opinion and really off subject, but I think the biggest environmental damage that's occurring in our woods right now are a lot of the illegal dope grows. People are doing, you know, horrible things. They're shoving dirt into the creeks. They're poisoning our creeks. And I won't go on, but I think that I hope that in the future, if we're really caring about the environment, that's a place we begin to look. Anyway, I'll get back to what I wanted to really say. As all of you probably know, I am an enormous proponent of NTMPs. They were adopted in 1991, I believe, and some of the first ones were written and submitted then. I would, even though it's not my property, I think that I could get all of you admission to it, but one of the first NTMPs, and in fact the NTMP legislation, was the brainchild of Wayne Miller. And his property is still under that kind of management. He was doing that kind of long-term sustainable management before the NTMP was adopted. There's still the family's doing it today. And his family's property is a model of what we should all be proud of in sustainable harvesting, in growing, you know, beautiful trees, in returning a forest that had been devastated in the 50s to an amazing forest today. And we, again, I think that all of you, if you have the opportunity, should visit his forest. Anyway, they were enacted as a way to, it was his brainchild, and his idea was he'd been doing this sort of forestry for 20 years, and he wanted other people to sign on, to realize that doing sustained, actually it's not even sustained yield, but it's to engage in uneven age management, it's to grow larger trees, and the most there's no clear cutting, and the most important aspect of an NTMP, and something that seems to be lost on a lot of people, is that every 10 years you have to grow more trees and you have to have more inventory than you had the prior 10 years. So it's not merely sustained yield. It's not, I start out with a million board feet and in 10 years I harvest and I have a million board feet, and in 10 more years I harvest and I have a million board feet. It's that I start out with a million board feet and in 10 years after I've harvested I have 110 million board feet. And so it grows every year. And the reason that NTMPs are supposed to last for 50 years is because it's encouraging people to make the commitment to actually grow more timber than they harvest over an extended period of time and make a difference, a realistic and positive difference to what the forest is going to look like. And in growing a better forest, you're going to protect water quality, you're going to protect wildlife, you're going to have all of these other important values that environmentalists, and I'm a big environmentalist, actually support. I will mention this as a landowner. To do this kind of forestry, it's more expensive. We don't just send the harvesters out there and tell them to get every tree over 20 inches or something like that. The trees are selectively harvested. It's more expensive to harvest, and you obviously harvest fewer trees because you're trying to leave and grow a bigger inventory. And as a result, one of the things that the part of the bargain, if you will, was to have regulatory certainty and to create certainty for the landowners. So the landowner's bargain was, we're going to grow bigger, better trees, we're going to protect the environment, but we, in exchange, we want regulatory certainty. And So when the 09 waiver was adopted, one of the aspects that Jim mentioned, and he's right, that was probably somewhat of a concern was the road assessment plan or the erosion control plan. But there were a number of other aspects to that that on subsequent conversations with staff, I realized that their interpretation and our reading of it were different. But at the time, we felt were really onerous. One of them was we thought that every NTMP had to go out and replace every culvert and put in culverts that were for the 100-year floods instead of a 50-year flood. And so we did think at the time that the 09 waiver was onerous and unnecessary because of the ASP rules. And I realized that there was also a gap between the time that the 09 waiver was adopted and the ASP rules were adopted. And I know that all of you know this, but I'll just say it again. The ASP rules, because they deal with an endangered species, apply to every NTMP. So even if you have an NTMP that was written in 1991, that NTMP has to be amended and updated to include the COHO, to include the ASP rules. And so anyway, getting back to the story. So we petitioned and you agreed to look at this again. The board agreed and staff agreed. We worked together really hard. And I honestly think that this has been a really positive process. I think before this process began, a lot of landowners, I don't think that they were nearly as, at least I wasn't, as comfortable working with your staff. I think staff has done an excellent job in trying to come out and see what's going on. I know the board members have also done that as well, to try to come and see what is going on in the forest. And also I think that if you hear the conversation, it's from a landowner perspective, it's great that CAL FIRE and water quality are working together. I think that it's important because that if your agencies can work together and there can be less duplication of regulation, that obviously benefits the landowner and it benefits everyone. It benefits the NTMP owner. Sorry, I just want to see if I'm leaving anything else out I wanted to say. I guess the in concluding, there was a couple of additional things I did want to say. First of all, I loved Director Corbett's suggestion that we find a way to encourage the landowners who are not maybe up to speed right now to get up to speed. I think it's conceivable that if you look at the entire regulatory scheme, And there probably will be some additional tweaking, and I'm sure that the landowners can work with that. But I think it's also important to look at the existing regulatory scheme and see if that will be adequate or the ways in which it might be adequate to achieve the water quality objectives that everyone is hoping for. I don't think that giving more time is backsliding, and I don't think the suspending the 09 waiver was a backslide. I think actually there's been a tremendous amount of benefit that's come out of it. I think that all sides are seeing things differently, and I think that we can work together to come up with a waiver that will work for the land, work for the NTMP owners, and also work for the water board. So I obviously support this. And thank you very much.
Lisa, thank you.
Do you have any questions?
Well, yours was one of the properties that I actually did go see, and I was happy to be there. It was a nice day out there on your property, and I saw a lot. I learned a lot from both you and Craig, and I appreciate that. Any comments or questions from board members?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Burt, would you like to conclude or address any of the comments that you've heard?
excuse me. I just wanted to clarify, Alan had mentioned that in our monitoring that we should look at older plans. And when I said that we looked at the majority of plans that just had recent NTOs, there's old plans and new plans. So the NTOs are recent, but we didn't just look at plans that were approved, you know, with the TNI rules or with erosion control plans. There was
I have to admit, I echo Board Member Hale's comments that there are questions of whether the 20 NTMPs you've looked at are characteristic, and as if they're of what's out there in the universe of NTMPs, and if you have data gaps, you know, are you going to fill them in the next 6 months, and or are they significant? Do the last six get you further or inform you in a way that you are not informed now?
I mean, I couldn't speculate. It definitely, it would be nice to get those.
Well, it sounds like that's in the realm of possibility. I mean, between yourself and Clay Brando, you know, it sounds like that's your objective. You're certainly sounding like you're going to work towards that in the next 6 months, and that's what you're asking for, is what I hear, is to be inclusive and try to get everything you can here. Personally, I'd like to do this once well. If we're going to do this, let's do this. I don't. It sounds like we have August as the end date here. That's what you're agreeing to today, is what I hear.
That is what we're proposing.
Mr. Corbett, did you have a comment?
I just wanted this 60,000 foot level.
And the first level is I got to turn on the microphone, I guess. Thank you. This 60,000 foot level comment, but. You know, we had at one time almost exclusive focus on forestry rules, and then the waivers moved towards water quality. And then as of late, they've been getting more and more forest practice rules-ish in the style of writing regulation. And that provides more certainty, and so that part's good. But it also makes things more parallel and redundant with forestry, which cries for someone to come in and coordinate. And so I just want to make sure you keep a balance between certainty, avoiding redundancy, and just the amount of specification we have. And that's real easy to say, and I understand it's going to be an art form in the regulation, but I did want to give that comment that if you read our regs, it looks like just another version of the forest practice rules. Certainly if I was not involved in the process, I would say, gee, why is it so redundant? And so I think we need to also stay grounded in water quality, although you'll get a pressure of people wanting more certainty. That's the balancing act.
Ms. Harris.
I just want to say I remember that meeting in March in Weaverville, right? That's where we were. It
yeah.
was snowing. Yeah. And the timber community said, come on. To the board and to the staff, we'll show you around, and it sounds like that's happening. And so I'm glad that they kept their end of the deal, and we're keeping ours by showing up on property. So, good job.
Yes.
Any other board member comments or questions? Somebody wish to make a motion?
Barring those, then, Mr. Chair, I give you a motion to adopt order number R1-2012-0010.
Second. Those approve?
Aye.
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 Opposed? You got it.
Thank
April
you.
20th or August 23rd.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm aware of the fact that we have Forestville in front of us, but we're going to take this in order and do Shasta next. I think it's a rather quick item, I would hope, Mr. Baker, and that then we will move on to Forestville.
Mr. Baker, we're looking in your direction.
I'm not trying to pressure you, Andy. Welcome.